Hi, friends. This is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We're studying Apostle Peter, Disciple Lessons from the Rock, and this is Appendix 7. Can a human minister forgive sin? One common question is whether a human minister or priest actually forgives sin himself on his own authority, or speaks the words of absolution on behalf of God who does the actual forgiving. The English term absolution refers to the act of forgiving someone for having done something wrong or sinful, specifically a remission of sins pronounced by a priest, as in the sacrament of reconciliation. Absolution derives from the Latin verb absolvere, to set free, acquit, finish. Three passages seem to indicate that the apostles are given the power to forgive sins. To Peter, Matthew 16:19, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. To the apostles, Matthew 18, verses 17 and 18, if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then to the apostles, John 20, 22 to 23, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Presumably, this power to forgive is passed on by the Holy Spirit to successive leaders as the church grows. Protestants might argue from church history that the perceived power of a bishop or priest to forgive sins or to condemn a person to hell was terribly misused in medieval times to gain and keep civil power over kings and others, as well as to give motivation to go on the Crusades, etc. It is hard to disagree. However, because someone misuses something isn't a strong argument that the thing abused is bad or untrue, only that it has been abused. The Apostle John taught, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. From the earliest church fathers, it seems that absolution from sins required confession and repentance. Repentant means the same as the English adjective penitent, which means feeling or expressing humble or regretful pain or sorrow for sins or offenses. Repentant. Who determines whether the person seeking absolution has made a good confession or possesses true repentance? No faithful priest would have offered absolution to a person he thought was faking penitence. But priests are fallible like all of us. And though God can reveal a person's spiritual condition on occasion, such supernatural discernment is not common. What happens if the priest doesn't discern a secret mortal sin, but goes ahead and pronounces absolution? Does God honor the absolution given by an honest priest by forgiving a person who isn't truly penitent? Does the priest's word outweigh God's judgment? No. The Bible teaches that true penitence is necessary for forgiveness. We conclude that God is actually the one forgiving the sin, not the priest. The priest declares absolution to the person based on God's promise, but clearly this is conditional upon true repentance. Roman Catholics, Orthodox, and Protestants agree here. If absolution is conditional upon true repentance, then there no longer seems to be a clear distinction between an evangelical Protestant offering an assurance of salvation based on the person's confession and repentance, and a priest offering absolution based on the person's true penitence. Clearly, different traditions have varying rules about which church leaders can hear confessions and offer absolutions, and the words of absolution may differ some. There is a variety, for example, between Greek Orthodox, Anglican, Roman Catholic, Lutheran, and Presbyterian rites, but the basic idea is the same. Truly, God's leaders are given the awesome privilege and duty of declaring full forgiveness of sins through the grace of Jesus. I am personally more comfortable with offering an assurance of salvation, citing the promises of God for salvation based on a person confessing their sins, asking Christ for forgiveness, and turning again to Christ, rather than saying, "I absolve you from your sins." Whatever our tradition, we are responsible to God for leading people to repentance and faith, then offering them the glorious words of the gospel of forgiveness or absolution of sin and freedom in Christ's salvation. May God richly bless you in your ministry of offering Jesus' forgiveness to sinners. Amen.